around any subject of law is dependent on four key pillars: historical, philosophical, analytical, and sociological. Gaming and gambling laws in India had historical and philosophical background right from the Mahabharata days, and the jurisprudence has since then developed via court-made law, which was analytical in nature, which helped evolve the theory of predominance of skill over chance as a test to see whether any game falls within the definition of gambling or no. In the recent times, states have started focusing more and more on the finer sociological aspects of this area, which can also be attributed to the battle of center versus state jurisdiction on gaming, which is not betting or gambling. States have thus started looking at aspects like law and order and such other sociological aspects that are affected by online gaming within the territorial jurisdiction of the state. So, finally, we are at a stage where we will discuss the softer and much more nascent areas of governance in the online gaming space. I'm calling it a nascent area because so far the industry has been on the path of user acquisition and testing out different models. However, a few segments like fantasy, rummy, poker, casual gaming, especially in the domain of real money gaming, have seen humongous growth, and as such, it is very critical for the industry to start focusing more and more on the softer angles of governance. Hello, all of you. My name is Amol Apte, and this is Lex Prudence Podcast. If you haven't heard the content of this channel, please search Lex Prudence. That is L-E-X, Lex, P-R-U-D-E-N-C-E, Prudence, on Spotify or Google Podcast, and give it a try. This season is available on YouTube as well. There are some old episodes that I have shared on certain interesting legal issues on Google Podcast and Spotify, and you can go there and check it out. Now, when we speak about online gaming industry and especially the real money gaming industry, we must keep in mind that the industry has double digit crore users onboarded on a few large platforms. Also, these platforms manage deposits, winnings, distribution of winnings, and such other critical financially sensitive matters, and therefore, governance is one area which, if not done right, can give multiple disadvantages, or if done right, can give platform multiple advantages, such as verified and genuine users, better control over user issues, much better grievance redressal because you know your user better, the user trust, the regulator and law enforcement agencies trust, and so on and so forth. So let us begin and unpack this interesting area of governance in today's episode. Now, what are the key governance issues relating to online gaming or OG? In the past couple of years, there have been certain developments, both at central and state level, where the focus of lawmakers has shifted from the legality aspect of OG to governance and public order related issues. It therefore is important for the online gaming platforms to start focusing around the following issues. Which are those issues? The first and the foremost is user verification. Now, so far we have had platforms registering or allowing a user to register basis either the mobile phone number or the email addresses. Now, with the advent of the amendments that were brought into the intermediary guidelines by the central government, and certain states starting to look at the softer governance angles, it has become more and more important for these platforms to not only onboard the users, but also to verify these users. Now, if you look at the intermediary guideline process, it puts an obligation on the platform to do the user verification, which is up to the standards of RBI regulated entity. Now, this requirement brings in twofold challenges for the platform. There are a lot of users who play for free on the platform, and as such, making it mandatory for all of them to do their KYC or know your customer documentation is a little bit of a friction. That's one. The other one is platforms have a huge set of existing users for whom they may need additional time to make sure that the KYC is done. Now, I would want to take a step back and see what this verification actually means. And if you look at the financial service sector companies like bank, typically what they do is they seek information from a new user first via the form that you fill up. So when you fill up the form, what you actually do is to provide certain information about yourself to the bank or any other financial institution, be it insurance company, be it mutual fund company. You give certain information about yourself in that form. Along with that information, they also ask you for submission of certain documents supporting that information. So that's the second stage. And the third stage for the institutions is to check and make sure that the documents submitted along with the information tally. And that's the verification stage. So now the intermediary guidelines, as well as certain states, have started looking at bringing these verification requirements for the online gaming platforms also, for the simple reason that they have crores of users onboarded on it, and those users are transacting users. They are transacting on a daily basis and making monetary transactions. And therefore, identification and verification of a user becomes very, very important. At the same time, it also brings in advantages for the platform if done right. And what are those advantages? You know your user better. You have a verified user, so the trustworthiness increases. In case of any law enforcement related issues, you have a clear understanding of your user and you can provide much better details to law enforcement, so on and so forth. The second governance related requirement that has now come in, or the intermediary guidelines has kind of brought that requirement in forefront, is age gating. A lot of states have been saying that the online gaming has been addictive in nature. It has caused a lot of financial distress in youth and all that. And therefore, there is a requirement for age gating. What does this age gating mean? Typically, the requirement says that only major participants or users should be allowed to play on a game which involves money or RMG. How will you make sure as a platform that you are doing this age gating? Obviously, because you are doing identification and verification process of your users, you will have evidences on record to make sure that your user is 18 and above. That's about age gating. What is the third finer nuance? That's not in the regulation per se, but the states have started looking at it, and that is addiction. A lot of states have been saying that because these games lure in the users based on the high winnings or the possibilities of winnings that they provide, there is that addiction angle involved, and therefore the platforms need to look at the ways in which it can stop or can curb the addiction within the society. A lot of platforms, not only the platforms, but certain associations have also started advising their platforms to either associate with people, experts rather, not people, who are from say medical background or sociological background, or have backgrounds in psychological studies, etc. And they provide counseling services to the users who they, on the basis of data, feel that may have been addicted with the gaming activities. So that's the third finer nuance that platforms have started looking at. And at some point in time, every platform will start looking at the addiction angle as well. The next angle is public order. Now, why public order? Because the states have started feeling that because of these winnings, because of a lot of money being involved on real money gaming platforms, there are certain percentage increase that they have noticed in crimes, financial frauds, OTP related frauds, credit card related frauds, so on and so forth. And therefore, public order has become a very, very important issue for the states. Now, effective mechanism of user verification and KYC, if done correctly, can make sure that the online gaming platforms are not allowing unwanted users to illegally exploit their platforms for money laundering or other criminal activities. Now, there have been discussions around the subject, including real money gaming platforms under the anti-money laundering related laws, where it's discussed that RMG may be brought in to the scope of reporting entity. Now, what does reporting entity means? Under the Prevention of Money Laundering Act, certain companies or certain businesses have been identified as reporting entities, and there are certain obligations on them to report certain specific transactions, or certain transactions falling in certain specific nature are reported to Financial Intelligence Unit. And those reporting obligations are on the reporting entities. The discussions are that gaming may also be, or real money gaming may also be brought into the ambit of PMLA, which is Prevention of Money Laundering Act. And once they become the reporting entities, the requirements of identification and verification of a user, as well as tracking of transactions, which are either cash transactions or suspicious transactions, will come into picture, and the platforms will have to start implementing those measures as well as the start reporting of these activities. So it is clear that with the development in the regulation around the subject of online gaming, and with millions of users registering and transacting with online gaming platforms, it is but natural that the focus of governance issues will increase more and more. And platforms will also have to start focusing more on these finer nuances of their governance. We will end this episode and the season of the Lex Prudence online gaming series at this stage, and we'll catch up again soon with a new industry and new episodes. Till then, if you have any questions, please write into me at lexprudence2020@gmail.com, and I will definitely try and answer your queries. Catching up with you soon. Till then, take care. Namaskar.